Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord see.
Yeah. Hands up, feet straight from the
How y'all doing? Ooh-wee. You know something about, you know, there's a sound that you hear only in Africa and in the black church and in the black community. Like, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. There's some kind of sounds, you know, almost like listening to the bongos or the drums or just certain sounds. And y'all let some of y'all kids lost that. Hey, y'all. Good morning. How y'all doing? Ooh, it's raining out. I know y'all looked out, but I mean, my God, you need to win, you need to rain. White folks telling y'all it's climate change. No, it's something that God has to have. You have to have rain and wind and snow and all that stuff, just like anything else, just like you taking a bath. But I enjoyed coming out this morning. It was so fresh. But more than anything, I enjoyed being here with you. I want to first thank Justin for holding it down for me last week. He held it down. Everybody told me, they said they enjoyed the tape he chose, and one of my church members told my daughter, what's my mom? I didn't realize how many folks was, some of the folks who wanted to ask where I was. I'm here, y'all. It's a sad day for me today, but I'm here. Let me just put it like that. I want you to tell everybody that at 7 o'clock we're going to have Dr. Claude Anderson on. We're going to pay tribute to a very close friend of mine, sister, whom I love. I cannot go to her funeral. Her funeral is today at 11 o'clock in Detroit, Michigan. If you're there, if you want more information, you talk to the Swanson Funeral Home. Dr. Joanne Watson, former councilwoman from the city of Detroit, one of the greatest council people before that. She was John Conyers' assistant, but one of the greatest council people you want to name. I mean, we were close. And she was my counterpart in Detroit. When I passed the slave era disclosure ordinance, she passed it. A lot of stuff. And we're going to be getting into her at the 7 o'clock hour. So I had two people that I lost very dear. And as Christians, you know, we hang in there, but we still get a little sad. My former chief of staff that you all know was such a great person, Robin Brown. He was in Memphis. He passed. So I got them like 1-2. It was like, my God, my God. And Robin, I was close to Robin. I loved Robin. Robin was one of the founding members of the Harold Washington Culture Center, TRI Tobacco Road, the company that runs the Harold Washington Culture Center. Robin Brown was Miss Avena Fulton's nephew. But he and Dr. Fulton and Lou Rawls and my son Bimaji and Chuck Barsdale, Otis Clay, and a few others was the founder of TRI, the organization that runs the Harold Washington Culture Center, as we put together the blueprint. He worked very hard on that culture center, on our festivals. Also, one of the greatest things that, if you have my book, you can probably look in there and see him in there. I got several pictures. One of the greatest things that Robin left on this earth was the fact that, well, he left a lot of things on the earth. But, I mean, when you think about how these, I was talking to Dr. Anderson, he's so embarrassed. He's neglecting about reparation. I said, so am I. But one of the greatest things that he did was, as I was putting together the slavery disclosure ordinance, he was one of the ones that helped me craft it. And, I mean, what I loved about Robin, he didn't try to rule me or be me. He just facilitated, accommodated, and worked with me. And I really enjoyed him. A lot of the work that I did in the Third Ward was because of Robin Brown, you know, and his easiness. He was really easy, how he worked with the staff and how he worked with me. But smart gentleman, vet, Navy vet, but also, you know, he used to be a TV commentator in Memphis before he came up to help his aunt, Dr. Fulton, in a holistic place. But anyway, my chief of staff, and his funeral is in Memphis on the 24th, which I probably have to get. I'm so sorry I can't go to Joanne today. And we are going to salute her at the 7 o'clock hour and talk about a lot of things at the 7 o'clock hour. But I just want y'all to know I'm all right. I'm back. God is good. Take care of yourself so when trouble come, you'll be all right. That's very important. And I was telling, I talked to Joanne's daughter, Reverend Dr. Joanne Watson, daughter, Nikki, I can't pronounce her name, and I We had a long talk. Joanne was a Christian, and she believed in God. And I was letting her know that those of us who are Christians know this is not the end. It's the selfishness we want to keep. But in the meantime, I have to do some things I got to talk to y'all about. I've not talked about, and some of the things that have gone on. And I'm going to follow up next week. Several things happened. Our mayor changed the school board. He put the members of the school board. You should look and see how he organized that school board. Very, very important, school board organizing. And it's interesting because he have Raise Your Hand. That's the guy that's over the, that's going to be over, over the school board. And what I want y'all to do is to look up this school, because I it was really something, because I never knew the ERICSOLORIO Academy High School. Please look it up, because that's kind of where he came from. That school is very, it's the kind of school you might want your children to go to. And it's a school, and it's a public school. But, I mean, that lets you know how our tax dollars are spent. And I really want you to see how this board worked out and look up the who these people are that's on this board. I think that black children are being left behind, and it's not just since the mayor got there. It's been going on a little while. And the sad thing about it is that nobody cares. Anybody seem to be thinking about what's going to happen about the education of our children, how important the education of our children is. Nobody respects us because we are not fighting for our children. Most folks who's in a position of power, quote unquote, because it's not to serve, not supposed to be power. It's supposed to be humble. Well, I heard a minister say, if you're not humble, you stumble. But most of the people, you know, who in leadership be thinking about how they're going to get what they're going to get to survive rather than with the people. And I was told by Bevel, who said that, hey, Tillman, right, they taught us that if you take care of the whole, you'll be taken care of because the whole is part, you're part of the whole. But most leadership move themselves outside of the whole and become like them. Even though we are a democratic republic and we're not ruled like England and all of other places supposed to be by the people, they become almost like that without you even realizing it. But it's very important that you look up this school, and this boy who's putting, you know, who he's putting in place is, you know, from Raise Your Hand. That's an organization who was supposed to be, you know, Raise Your Hand. And they received their funding from the Teachers Union, too, I think. Shai said he was stepped down from Raise Your Hand, which received funding from the Chicago Teachers Union. Shai noted, every new board of education appointed has local school council experience. I don't understand the local school council. As I'm concerned, they have failed black children, those who are in black schools. And he was a science teacher at that school. I told y'all to look up Eric, ERICSOLORIO. Very good academy. And as I looked through the school and looked at the video, I didn't see any black children, and I looked at the type of school you should have if you want to have a holistic education. So it's kind of important that y'all look at that. We've come a long way from what's the word, Manfred Bird, Reverend Dr. Smith, or how we had fought so hard to get black folks involved and on the Board of Education, how we fought the Bogan Broads and everything else. But don't be fooled now. You need to look at how this board is shaping up. And it's not going to have any, nobody's going to do nothing about educating black children because there's no advocate for the black child and the black child education. When they had 11% of Chicago children are doing reading, and if I think about 5% doing math, black children. I think about 50 or 60% of the white. We're behind even the Latina and everybody else. And which may, you know, I look at the organizations. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we're going to have to come back next week and really dive into this. Most of the organizations that we put in place to fight for our people, they have put similar organizations, but they're really working. All these folks are working on behalf of their communities. Be clear on that. And they understand the economics. They understand the importance. Yeah, Rudy Lozano's son is going to be on the board. I mean, you know. Y'all need to look at that board that he put. And I haven't heard nobody really discuss it. You know, we got this thing. That's why I told y'all when Barack became president, we got pushed back 50 years because we stopped advocating for ourselves and we stopped making excuses for what was being done to us. And it set us back. So everybody else came in and started doing the same thing. You lost what we was gaining. You know, that is really, it's going to be something. But I want y'all to pay attention. We're going to dive into it real heavy because this week I'm going to, I will be in the second half talking, paying tribute to my friends and stuff, to my sister. I don't know about this, y'all. Y'all better take a moment to look at it. It's really something. Let me just put it like that. They're talking, I didn't even realize when the council voted to have an immigration and refugees rights when they have a budget. Now, over $100 million has been spent on just those illegal immigrants. Yeah, they said the migrants, refugees. They said immigrants. See, they said migrants went to $103 million. Been spent on them $72.6 million for staffing. All of this stuff that's going on, $106 million for housing. And you got black folks. I know people now still looking for an apartment because they can't afford the rent, especially in our community. Some of these communities, they have so hard, even on the west side. But your money is being used like a drunken sailor, and it's like you have nothing to do with it, like you don't pay taxes. My taxes are very high. My schools are very bad. And we're going to really dive into these school things because I have 5 children, 8 grands. But even beyond, anybody know me, know I've always been an advocate for the education of black children. And most of our people are afraid to say black, and these other folks are not. When they voted, let me tell you, some folks think that the, I was talking to someone, them, oh, no, they didn't pass how they going to do the elect school board. I said, no, they still deal with it. And they're dealing with it because the Latina organizations are saying that they didn't feel like the map was drawn fairly. And they're talking about what their population is in the school. And they're working on this map. Black folks, you can look at the appointment of this board, and you can look at your school versus the school I just told you to look up. And you can tell that nobody cares about our children. And black folks going to be lost when I think what's her name, Martinez, whatever her name is. She's the deputy chief of staff for the mayor now. She used to be state rep. When they always work on behalf of their people. And I don't get upset with them about that. Be clear on that. Y'all don't miss that. No. What I get upset about, if our people don't work on our behalf and fight and push back. So in that, she made sure that illegal immigrants can vote for the board. And I just say, and it's our tax dollars. And I think what really kind of get to me a little bit on all this stuff is that, okay, Reverend Jackson announced that he's going to step down. And we'll talk about that. I guess I might get a minute. I don't know. I'm going to see because I want to, and I salute him. I mean, sometimes we disagree on methodology and some other stuff, I think. I don't agree with some, you know, but I have to say Reverend Jackson was one of the ones that I helped train Reverend Jackson. And Reverend Clay Evans brought Reverend Jackson to SCLC. He brought him up. He was on, 47 in South Park. And Reverend Clay Evans brought Reverend Jackson to us. And Andy and Beverly and all of us, we was up there at CCO office. We were having a meeting in one of the rooms, SCLC staff, and he said that he thought that Jackson would be a great addition. And he asked Beverly to put Jackson on his on the staff, and the staff have to vote to say who's going to be there. And when we moved around, we would always try to groom leadership, and that was like a grooming thing. And Beville and C.T. Vivian would really train him how to do public, how to be speaking, put him in front of the mirror, teach him how to speak. And he caught on, and he carried it on and crafted how he wanted and how he was going to run. So I say that he's part of that dysfunctional family called SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, where I come from. And he became part of our staff. And so you got to understand that I've known Jesse, and I met Jesse and Jackie in June 1966, and that is when Reverend Clay Evans brought him to SCLC. And he said that Reverend Jackson would be very good. That he'll be good for us. So, you know, we've had a long route, and when people came on our staff, we had to, teach different things. So we've been together for a long time. So I've known Reverend Jackson, and I won't be able to go over to what they're having Sunday at, at Avastop at the church over there, Brazier Church, for the salute. And I think Pamela Harris is going to be speaking. And I got the article, and I know I got to talk some of this stuff, y'all. And I'm going to get back to where I was. One of the things, the group on a statement that Harris will be focused on economic power of the Hispanic community and how the Biden-Harris administration is helping to move the country forward on the path a great equity. That was for the Hispanic community. For our community, she was coming to show up to support from the black community for the Harrison-Biden ticket. Economics was not mentioned in the same breath with our people. Just saying, y'all, that y'all need to think about that we need to force these folks to say we want education economic too. And what I thought was interesting, Lynn Sweet said Harrisville was the first African-American Indian, a black Indian woman to become vice president. He's Indian black America. That's what she called it, America, whatever. But the thing I wanted to say aside from that was that she specifically said the Biden-Harrison agenda will include the economic power. So when they talk about other people, they talk about education power, economic power, and every foundation these people are building off of is what we did as a people, black people who suffered so much and so hard, and we built this country. We began to build our schools and build all other stuff and do things, and their people gave their lives and their time, everything, to move our people forward just for a group to strategically get in the room and say, we're going to make black folks hate their country, turn them away, make them look over there while we just take this sucker and tell them, do not even, and then they bring their own flag in, do not, you don't belong to nobody, you know. You just fight, but the country I'm coming into to take over, to govern, they govern it and take all every aspect of the country that we sell our children, whether it's medicine, whatever it is, cleaning. I mean, just if you look just to take care of a city, all the things you have to do to take care, why won't we be part of that? To be part of the armed force, the police force, be part of this workforce in this city, whatever it takes to take care of, not just in this city, across this country. When you get the medical profession, all of the things to push you away from it, and they step in and they decide to turn this country into who and what they are, while we busy around here talking about some damn supremacists and all the other stuff, and our children sitting around can't even read. It's going to take some strength for black folks to stand up and say, hell no. But that's a third rail. So y'all can talk all this other stuff you want to talk. Make y'all hate Biden, the premier, this and that. Make y'all hate him. Make y'all hate that. Make y'all hate Crump. And your children are suffering. They're suffering and they're being used sexually in all kind of other ways. But it's some interesting stuff, and we will get into a lot of that stuff next week. I might talk a little bit about it today, but I just wanted y'all to know. And Harris will be at with Jesse on Saturday, but she's coming in several times, because she have to show up that black Hispanic support. But they want to talk social stuff to us about that black support for them. But then it's interesting, when she popped over to what they're going to be doing for the Hispanic, it's going to show the economic power. Y'all better hear me, or maybe y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all think I'm just, you know. But when you got your children can't read, what you going to have? And they said the enrollment for black folks going to college and they're sitting on things of decline. But how can you do anything if you can't read, if you can't write? And that started at an early age. What they're teaching our children at an early age is how to do sex, what gender they are, how to cut off them, how to castrate, that we call castration, all the other stuff, math and science. And it's very important y'all look at that school. So some other stuff happened too. But all that money that they're spending is a disgrace. I just don't understand it. Well, we got, and oh, I got a call yesterday from someone that said Taylor Park is getting ready to get cleared out to move migrants in there. Now, Taylor Park is on 47 and State near the near Wentworth. And you know that's Taylor Park is where a lot of programs for black children are. And they go in, they do boxing, they do all kind of stuff. And it's been there a long time. So I told the person, well, they want to come on, or they want to talk about it since they make money and over there. And they scared. They scared. Now, they are not going to have the job no way, but they just want to make me aware of what they get ready to do to Taylor Park. And, but if people working and they scared to talk about what's going to happen to them, I'm telling y'all, this post-traumatic slavery syndrome, they have put black folks in a space and a place where we were doing enslavement and Jim Crow. Why are they talking about 201 Jim Crow? These suckers is putting us with Jim Crow. They got black folks to the point that they're scared to fight. Some of our people, I'll never say 100%, are afraid to fight on behalf of black people unless it is doing some feel-good stuff, some stuff they got a talking point for. And if the black community over there, if y'all allowed them to move Taylor Park, move your children out of Taylor Park, and y'all ain't mobilizing, and move those programs up in Taylor Park, y'all out of y'all mind. Don't call me. I'm not coming over there. And you're not willing to do anything, and you know the role that Taylor Park play in our community. But, and then I think the alderman should look around and see, since they're spending all this money on these illegal immigrants, as they call migrants, how much of the money is going from the immigrants from Africa and Haiti and all them other places. You need to see how many of them in these places. But there's a lot of stuff going on. We've been hit in all directions. And I still say again, I don't see where there's a group of black folks aligned and think tanking and working on behalf of black folks. I don't see how in the hell that all of these black people will allow for our children not to be able to read, not to be able to have education, and we are paying taxes. No, you be working trying to figure out how you're going to get your daughter or your son somewhere. That's what you're trying to figure out. How do I get mine somewhere? We are hurting and we are failing, because, and they're laughing at us. They don't talk anymore about that Chinese school on Cermak and State, Cermak and State anymore, because they're moving on. And the Chinese building a school because they don't want their children out, because they want their school to be like the school I just told y'all about, that I told y'all to go look up. And they don't want black children to learn. Black children are born brilliant. They are being suppressed and oppressed. Because in order to take over America, the descendants of enslaved blacks in America and the white Anglo-Saxon must be suppressed. Because the white Anglo-Saxon and the black man built this damn country. And yes, that girl that played basketball, she salutes now, I bet you. But anyway, just a few things, and I'm going to come back after my break, and I'm going to talk a little bit because I'm doing my salute, my pain. I'm in pain with my heart, with my sister, Dr. Joanne. I state our representative over there in Detroit. I mean, I'm really hurting. That hit me. I ain't cried so much. I better go take my break. I had to think about my own mortality. And I thought about some of the things of our last conversation, how you give your heart and give your all to your people. And you're gone. Do they carry on or do they care? The last call, last long conversation we had was about when Brenda Young was running for that congressional seat and the black community voted for the Arabs. Talk of Chicago, 1690, 773-59-1690. We're streaming live at www.viewin.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, a group Facebook. You can get us on iHeartRadio. You can also get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. This is Dorothy Wright, Tim Wright is Great City, Chicago, with coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. I am gone for a minute, and I'll be back and take a few of your calls as I slide into a tribute to my sister, family. Nikki, I know y'all listening in Detroit. She told me she'll be listening to that family, and also to my chief of staff, Robin Brown. My heart is heavy. I'm in pain, but I know God is. Get your coffee, get your tea, and I'll be back. Come on back and talk to me. Come on back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
ComEd wants you to get free tickets to the Museum of Science and Industry and experience the ComEd EV Rally on July 29th. Witness 45 Chicagoland teen girls race electric go-karts with ComEd mentors. The transition to clean energy is creating STEM jobs and opportunities in Northern Illinois. Programs like the EV Rally are helping prepare tomorrow's workforce today. Restrictions apply. Visit ComEdEVRally.com for ticket info and to learn more about upcoming STEM education events.
The finance company will not allow you to secure your newly purchased car without insurance. The mortgage company will not allow you to close on your newly purchased home without insurance. To satisfy your lending institution, or if you just want a better deal and great coverage on your auto and home insurance, you need an expert. Call the insurance experts at 888-714-8718. If you have been with the same insurance agent who's offered you no new options, no new updates, and no new savings, it's time to call a new expert. Call the insurance experts now at 888-714-8718. That's 888-714-8718.
WVON is proud to welcome Wintrust Financial to the Tuesday 3:30 Focus. Tune in and see why Wintrust is Chicago's bank for personal and commercial customers. They have hundreds of neighborhood locations with one near you, no matter if it's an auto or a mortgage. Wintrust is there for you. Visit Wintrust.com to find a neighborhood location near you. Tune in Tuesday for the Wintrust 3:30 Focus.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. You may no longer be a husband, but you'll always be a dad. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision-making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704. CordellCordell.com.
At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Less money for the exact same thing. Hope this is clear enough. Consumer Cellular, when freedom calls, they're here to answer. Switch today and get a second month of service for free. Go to consumercellular.com/freemonth and enter promo code FREEMONTH. Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 5 gigabyte data plan and unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023. Promotion subject to terms and conditions.
It's time to focus. with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evenings at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Really gonna miss you. It's really gonna be different without you. Time is gonna be hard and slow for the rest of my life. Gonna be thinking about you. Yes, I am. Time came when you had to go. There's a higher power that we answer to, and you heard him calling your name. Really gonna miss you, everything about you, your smiling face. Yes. I know you want us all be strong. Really gonna miss you.
I'll miss you, my buddy.
I know you're gone.
Yeah.
That woo! Way.
Joanne and Robin. Gonna miss Dr. Anderson's our buddy. Joanne Watson was my buddy.
Strong
enough to stand for black folks.
I'm
gonna miss you, Robin.
Miss you,
that was a 1-2 punch. I'm gonna miss you. Those people love black folks. There's some folks live and just suck up air, and there's other folks when they live, when they go, there's a hole in the black community. That's why I talked about the problems we're having, because Joanne would have wanted me to do that. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. Can't talk to you late at night on the phone about black people. I'm going to miss you, Robin. Yeah. Woo! I miss them already. I'm thinking about my
own.
Yeah, y'all. Gonna miss my buddy. We're getting few and in between, y'all. We're just going and
really gonna miss you.
Gonna miss you. I miss them already. I miss them in my heart. I miss them in my soul. You know, when you're out here on this battlefield, you don't have a lot of people to talk to that really, you know, love black folks. They're not talking to you about trying to be some scheme. And when they go, there's a hole. And you say, okay. See, I'm older than Joanne. I felt like one of her mentors. So, you know, there's a hole there, not just for me, but for you as a black people in this country and in Africa, too. Because she was a very, very strong person for Africa as she was trying to build Africatown in Detroit and take that land. When I put my land on hold 70-30, and I was going to get 70% to black people, we began to build that community, bring back businesses and housing, and then we put together the tax increment finance where we were going to take all that land and that money and help build for black folks. And she put together Africatown in Detroit where she was working with Dr. Anderson. And then they came after her, white on rice, and they started because they and she was trying to figure out how to keep that money and get Motown back into black folks' hand and build up all that area over there. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. Hey, I miss you so much. I just cried all night. because I got you and Robin right together. Talk of Chicago, 69 WN. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wn.com. Our show is dedicated to the great Dr. Councilwoman Joanne Watson of Detroit and my former chief of staff, Robin Brown. I miss you, my buddies. And we're going to have Dr. Anderson on. He was toe up when I told him about Joanne. And we're going to salute Joanne at the 7 o'clock hour. I'll miss you, my buddy. 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.vn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're on Blog Talk if you miss us. Things like this, y'all, I understand what Dr. King said. You think about your own mortality. You think about a lot of stuff. Put a lot of stuff on my mind. I've been talking to some of my children trying to, you know, I have 5 children, 8 grands and 4 great grands, and just trying to, you know. And to talk to her daughter the other day was really deep. But anyway, let me go to the phone, and I'm going to try to spend some time real quick, y'all, because at 7 o'clock I'm going to flip. I got like 6 minutes to hear from you. But I went into the problems because Joanne would have wanted me to. Okay, I need you got to give me a minute. I don't have long, but I'm going to take each, I'm going to try to enter the board a minute with everybody.
Okay, good morning. I'm sorry about the loss.
It's our but loss. Our loss.
God refreshes. He refreshes Dorothy. I have to tell you that because I'm losing people too. And he let us know that he's going to just keep on rolling on, and those people was so important. But what I wanted to say about you is talking about what they're teaching the kids in the school. That is the devil.
Of course
he is trying to pervert God's word, and he is good at doing it. And you see how vicious and nasty he is to even babies.
Yes.
We must not act like this is not real.
I agree with you, and I'm going to go now because I want to empty my board. I'm trying.
Okay, love you.
Thank you. I wasn't going to take no calls, but I knew I had to. We know that we are not fighting flesh and blood. Fresh and blood, we're fighting something that's really deep. And this is the first time in the history of the blacks in this country that we didn't fight with God, knowing God was on our side and putting God first. Something happened. Barksdale. Adele Barksdale.
Hey, how you doing, Dorothy?
I'm here.
I know we all is here. But anyway, I just want to commend you on all the things that you've been doing over the years. We did that reparation 2000 out of City Hall. I'll never forget you as long as I live. You don't want to start me fighting for CPS. I'm still volunteering in Chicago Public School. I'm still on local school community ready. Hey, it's not all of us, but some are still trying to fight for
black children. I know. I do know.
And the fight go on, baby girl.
Okay, we're going to get it.
Love you.
Thank you. We're going to dig in real deep in August about this school system. Love you, too.
Okay,
let's get deep. We're going to get deep. Thank you. Education, economics. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. I almost didn't come in today. JT.
Good morning, Mr. Elton.
Good morning.
Got a question. Are you familiar? Have you heard about this movie about they got at the show now about this sex trafficking?
Yeah. I advise everybody to go see it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I was in a grocery store yesterday. There was a lady. She was in an aisle. She was in tears. And I asked her, I said, what's the matter? She said, have you seen the movie about the sex trafficking?
And as a Christian group that put it together, the regular folks were not even Disney. Nobody would take it. And the Christian group put it together. And that's the group who somebody they're taking back the rainbow because the rainbow belongs to God. I saw it, but I can't get off into it right. I'm trying to just...
It's something I wanted to say.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe it's sex trafficking. What they're trying to do is turn back the time to slavery. Ain't no way in the world, Ms. Tillman, that these people can, they say thousands of kids is coming up missing, and they keep putting a number on how much the sex trafficking is. How would you know if you're not complicit in it?
Because they might be part of it. It's a lot of stuff going on, JT, but I can't get in deep into that right now. But I do know about the movie, and we're dealing with some deep stuff. I mean, we got satanic in our schools where they're doing after schools and doing workshop on the satanic stuff. They have allowed them to come into the Illinois school. It's some deep stuff. I'll talk to you later. I started to take no calls, but I know I owe it to you to take some calls, and that's why I did it. Okay. Mary? Mary?
Yes.
Yes, Mary. Hello, Mary.
I'm, I'm tuning in kind of late. I don't, you know, really know what's going on. A friend of mine, Adele Boxdale, called me and told me about you on the radio.
Oh, I can't explain to you what's going on yet, Mary. Just keep listening, and then we'll talk later, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. And I'm on every Saturday, but keep listening. Ooh, not today. Frank.
Hello, Ms. Tillman.
Yes, Frank.
Oh, good morning, my sister. How you doing?
I'm here. You know Joanne Watson?
Ms. Tillman, stick with the topic.
Do you know Dr. Bill Watson?
Ma'am?
You know,
what'd you say?
You know Representative Watson, Joanne Watson from Detroit?
Oh, yes. My condolences. Yes, we've been hearing about all
this. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. My condolences to her, the family, and to all of us. You said, you know, like you said, it's a great loss to all of us. But the other topic you brought up, Ms. Tillman, Senate Bill 1565, introduced February 6th by Senator Democrats, Selena Villanueva, a Spanish woman. Listen, Ms. Tillman, this bill does allow for non-citizens to vote for the school board election, but they must be here legally.
That's not true. Go read the bill. I got to go. I'm not arguing with you this morning. I don't feel like it. They put in that illegal immigrants can vote because they have children in the school. If they have children in the school, they can vote. I'm going to tell y'all something. For these folks who sit back and just talk, I don't have that kind of time this morning because I see what's happening to our people. We hurt our own self by trying to decide. The bill said they have children in public schools, they're illegal or not, they got to vote, they can vote. You know, and in New York and Massachusetts, they're giving them a driving license. David.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Stillman.
Good morning.
And you have my condolences for your comrades.
Thank you.
Joanne and Robin. Ms. Tillman,
Watson.
It's like
Watson, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let us celebrate their efforts and the fight that they put about.
Yeah.
For our people. And I would like when you finish your book, I'd like you to think or contemplate about, you know, doing an audio book for us, please.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Love
okay.
You.
Okay. You know, it's hard to say goodbye. We got to get ready to take a break. You know, we say that and we do the talking and stuff, but it's hard to say goodbye, you know? This show is dedicated to Reverend Dr. Joanne Watson and Robin Brown, two good people. You go to Harold Washington Culture Center, think about Robin Brown. Looking at the slavery of disclosure, think about Robin Brown. Robin was such a partner of mine to his family.
How do I?
We're going to take a break, y'all. And at 7 o'clock when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Anderson with us. We're going to salute my sister in Detroit. And we'll talk about some of the things we're doing. So y'all listen. Like I said, there's pain, but I had to come on this morning for them. I had to. And I know our daughter's listening. Look, we loved your mother. Chicago loved your mother. Detroit loved your mother. You know, Africa loved your mother. But it's just kind of hard, y'all. I won't have them nights on the phone with Joanne. Somebody who understands. It's kind of hard, but we know there is a God. So many people give up so much sacrifice, she did. They give up so much before they become part of ancestors. And there are others that sit there and soup up space and go somewhere and just be trying to get what they can for themselves. They don't have to. Hey, this is to all of you who love our people. We're going to take a break, talk of Chicago, 1690-773-5916. We're streaming live, www.beauty.com. When I hire radio tickets, wherever you go, we're on Facebook. Please go to Blog Talk. Okay, to my sister Joanne and my brother Robin, who have joined our ancestors. I'm in pain, and I want y'all to know that I'm assessing my mortality because it's so hard. I'm going to take a break, y'all. And I'll be back on the other side. I'm gonna play. And Dr. Anderson will be with me when I come back. It's hard to say goodbye. And we salute Reverend Jackson while he's alive. We salute you, Reverend. Okay.
And I'll take with me the memories to be the sunshine of the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
It's hard. It's hard. But God got it.
Listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Williams jackpot is worth an estimated $560 million. And not to be outdone, but Saturday night's Powerball jackpot is at $875 million. And that's the latest. I'm Doug Davis from the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
I'm Terry McCready.
And I'm Kevin Brown on your home for 24-7 News, the Black Information Network.
The first over-the-counter birth control pill is getting the government green light, the FDA clearing Perrigo's once-a-day hormone-based O-pill to be sold without a prescription. The company won't begin shipping the pill until early next year, and there will be no age restrictions on sales.
The U.S. Justice Department says a new Mississippi law requiring the appointment of some judges in a state where most judges are elected, discriminates against residents of the majority black capital city of Jackson in Hinds County. The department is looking to join a federal lawsuit filed by the NAACP. The measure was signed into law back in April by Republican Governor Tate Reeves, and Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights Christian Clark calls it a crude scheme by state lawmakers designed to single out black residents. Clark says the goal is to strip power and resources away from a predominantly black electorate.
A case has been referred to prosecutors that involves a Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office deputy who punched a mother who was holding a three-week-old baby during an arrest last year. Sheriff Robert Luna calling the encounter unacceptable.
It's not the first time I'm releasing body-worn camera footage, and that's respectful. And I'm doing that because I want to ensure that our services are respectful, empathetic, and absolutely constitutional.
The woman was pulled over during a traffic stop in Palmdale, California for alleged child endangerment. Deputies reportedly smelled alcohol and decided to arrest three female passengers who had three infants in their arms. Just released body camera video showing one of the women struggling with officers. The deputy was not identified and has since been terminated. The incident occurred before Luna became sheriff.
As nationwide test scores are on a downward spiral, U.S. students are also plummeting in their leisure time. A report by the National Assessment of Educational Progress shows only 14% of students say they read for fun every day, down 3 percentage points from 2020 and 13 percentage points since 2012. More than 30% of children never or rarely read just for fun. Experts blame challenges from social media and failure to introduce children to books that interest them. Common Sense Media reported that in 2015, most children had a phone by the age of 14. Stanford Medicine found last year that the average child had a phone by their 11th birthday.
A planned excavation at an Oklahoma cemetery in search of unmarked graves from the Tulsa race massacre has gotten underway. City officials say the two-day test excavation is taking place at Tulsa's Oaklawn Cemetery in a section where over two dozen unmarked burials have been unearthed. Some of those burials are believed to be victims of the 1921 massacre when white mobs invaded the prosperous Greenwood neighborhood, then known as Black Wall Street, and burned it down, killing an estimated 300 black people. For more on these stories and international, national, state, and local news affecting the black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. On social media, follow the BIN on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Black Information Network and on Twitter at Black InfoNet. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Women are the foundation of our communities. Research shows black women may have higher risk for breast cancer and reduced access to breast cancer screening. Jackson Park Hospital and the University of Illinois Cancer Center have teamed up to ensure women get easy access to high-quality mammograms. In need of a mammogram? Visit Jackson Park's Chief Radiologist Dr. Arlene Richardson. Every Monday, women can walk in for breast cancer screening services from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. as part of their Mammo Monday program. They accept patients even if you have no insurance. Call a breast health navigator today at 773-947-7870.
Birth Into Books is hosting their second annual Words of Wonder Literary Festival at the Dr. Conrad Rohrill Track and Field Center on Saturday, July 29th from 11 a.m. to 5. Interested in writing a book? Attend their interactive writing workshop, enjoy animated storytelling, experience story-based dance, and African and indigenous-style drumming. But that's not all. Enjoy an incredible lineup of live music, delicious food, giveaways, and so much more. The Words of Wonder Literary Festival is happening Saturday, July 29th at the Dr. Conrad Rohrill Center, 10201 South Cottage Grove Avenue. Sign up on Eventbrite. It's free and all ages are welcome. Words of Wonder Literary Festival, where imagination comes to life.
There is nothing as important as your health and the health of your family. UChicago Medicine knows that. So every Saturday through their Community Health Focus Hour broadcast from 1 until 2 p.m. on WVON, they cover all health topics relative to you living a better life. Their doctors, experts, hosts, and community leaders share facts and advice on how you can live healthier. Tune in Saturdays at 1 p.m., sponsored by UChicago Medicine at the forefront.
WVON 1450.
From Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The present has brought us facing the rising sun of mutating eagles. Let us march on.
Yeah, let us march on. Let's march on. That's what Joanne would say.
Don't need the road.
Yeah, the 7 o'clock hour is going to be dedicated solely to Joanne, my sister in Detroit. Yeah, that song there is dedicated to her. Woo! Yeah! Hey, Joanne, hold your fist up, girl. Yeah, I still want a fist up in the ancestors.
We got some difficulties.
Oh, we got some difficulties, Dr. King.
But it really doesn't matter with
me. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Because I've been to the mountains.
Yeah. He said, I don't mind, I don't mind. Yeah, Joanne, I've joined the ancestors of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., my sister Joanne, whose service will be today at 11 o'clock in Detroit, Michigan. You can call the Swanson Funeral to get all the other details. I tell you, Nikki, I know you're listening to my sister. If you want to call in, you can, Nikki, 773-591-6090. You're the only other person I'm going to take besides Dr. Anderson because we're going to pay. You don't have to, my sister. Just listen because you're the only. We're going to have Dr. Anderson on the salute. We will not go through our usual 7 o'clock hour in black because none get as black as Joanne. I'm going to play this song. This is my song in the place of Dr. King's speech in the black, are you black enough for? This is how I feel about my sister Joanne. And then I'll have Dr. Anderson on after this. Come on. I won't be alone. Why don't you let it be? Hey, Nikki, this is how I feel about your mama. Woo! Feel water run deep. Yes, sis. Come on. Yes, it do. I know that. Oh, yeah. She was close to Aretha too. Woo! She was on the bridges. Black community used to have a lot of bridges. Willing to lay me down. These folks said, hey, Joanne would lay it down. She was that bridge. She was one of them bridges. Hand to hand as we locked arms across this country on behalf of black people. Because we understood that still water ran so deep, we didn't want them to fall off into the water. So we laid me down. She laid it down. Hey, this is dedicated to Joanne before we bring Dr. Anderson on. Woo! Oh, yeah, I feel it. Hey, God is. I love that sister. I'm going to miss you, my buddy. Y'all gotta bear with me. Don't trouble the water. Said when you're down. This is how this sister felt about the black community. She knew it ran deep. When you're down, I tell you. When you're in the street. When you're on the street. And when dark. Yeah. When evening falls, I tell you. I'll comfort you. But when darkness. Darkness, most folks will run from you. Now, Joanne. Hey! Yeah! How many folks? When darkness comes, she said, hey, I lay me down like bridge over troubled water. Woo! Joanne, you've been that bridge as the black community. Treaded this water. She didn't just go to the water with you. She'll step in the water. Some folks go to the water edge, but she stepped in. Woo! Lord have mercy. Sail on, civil girl. How many sisters can say that to you? Let's sail on by. Not these leaders, because she'll say, your time have come. Hey, and I'm going to push you on. She's talking to the black community. Most folks don't want to do it. Hey, your dreams are... Hey, listen. Hey, Joanne was one of those bridges. So was Robin Brown. Yeah, that? When trouble comes, she's not letting me down. Woo! I'll be there, baby. Yeah, Lord. Ooh, God. Woo! That's what it's about. Let him know I'm gonna bring him in after the song. Justin, let him know I bring him in after the song. It runs real deep. Yeah! How many of you will lay me down? She said, when darkness come, I'll take your pain, I'll do all of that. She gave it all. Woo! Yeah! That would be your bridge. She was a bridge that she left here. Joanne, my sister, this show is to you. Woo, Jesus. It runs deep. Joanne was one of those bridges over the water, lay me down, fighting for her black people, understanding why she was elected, gave so much. Nikki, I know you're listening. Her family, her daughters are listening. And know that we love your mother. And we're going to miss her, but she's gone to the ancestors, to the angels. And she's one of those folks, lay me down. You don't have that many who understand what it is to be a leader. Joanne was a leader. My sister that I talked to at midnight, she's not there. We just talking the spirit. I told y'all we was going to have Dr. Anderson on because he was a very good friend of Joanne's. And, you know, Dr. Anderson, lock him in. Oh. Good morning, Dr. Anderson.
Good morning there, buddy. How you doing this morning?
I am really your only friend now, for real. You just lost one.
All right, and that's a special honor.
Yeah.
Because you represent a selection of a crown on black folks' heads across this country, and you all are ours, those who are called my only friends.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to let you talk because I know how you was. And Joanne's family is listening to Dr. Anderson. Her daughter told me they would be listening this morning to us. And I knew that you, how close you was to Joanne and all the things she did, and I knew you wanted to do a tribute to her. So I'm going to let you talk. You got it for a few minutes. Well, let's talk.
Okay, first of all, let me say good morning to all of your listeners. And I know you got a massive number of listeners all across America.
Thank you.
Based on your popularity, point one, and secondly, your ability to deliver appropriate and information that they need to be operating off of. So I'd like to say good morning to them and recognize them. But on the other hand, it is with a great sadness, Dorothy, that I acknowledge Joanne's passing.
Mm-hmm.
It is with great passion that I'm here this morning, because that was one of my best friends.
Yes,
also.
Yes, it was.
Joanne was an exceptional black fighter for us in the black race,
mm-hmm,
and across this country. And Joanne's purpose was not just strictly singular, just focusing on, what we should be doing as humanitarians and children of God. But she was unwavering in her efforts, especially in Detroit. And that's why I always tell her in all my greetings that, Joe, you are a fighter, but I'm your only friend.
Yeah.
So never worry about losing the rest of them.
And you know, we were saying, when you said that, Dr. Anderson, I said, Dr. Anderson, tell you today you was the only, his only priest. I said, well, he told me the same thing. Don't believe him. We were laughing about that.
Yeah, I did. And as you know, I spent a lot of time after I went with President Carter. Well, I was with Governor of Florida for about 10 years, but just trying to select in every major urban black area where blacks were dominant in population and in consumer spending patterns, to choose those blacks who were fighters, were stand-up people. And that's why Joanne Watson was selected in Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, like Dorothy Tillman, yourself, or in California, like Dr. Rosie Milligan.
Yeah, Dr. Rosie, yeah.
Yeah, and well, all across America.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Atlanta, Georgia, and every place I went, there was always one black woman that said, if a black man is too scared to stand up, then I'll stand up and substitute for him and speak out and say what needs to be said. And so she deserved that honor, and she was a dedicated person. And she knew more than anybody I could think of about what was going on locally and be able to transfix it and tie it into our national effort to do things, you know, from the president's office and from the governor's, because I was also the chairman for economic development for governors in eastern and southern states. And remarkably, they gave me the authority to be able to handle their funds and approve anything that they wanted if it made sense, and I also dictated that it must have some blackness in it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I did. So, you said something, Dorothy. Say it again.
I'm agreeing with you. Just agreeing with you, Pat, thinking about how hard you fought for education, and black folks don't have no we have feedback, too, Dr. Anderson, kind of jested on your end. But
let me make sure that I'm not doing anything wrong, because I got a lot to say this morning.
We're just getting a lot of feedback, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm handling it with you, Joanne. Help us with the feedback, Joanne.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you still hear the feedback?
No, it's gone now. It's gone.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a question to ask me.
No, I was talking about how hard Joanne and I, we fought for education, our children are educated, and how hard you fought for education of children, how hard the economic, all the things you did for black people, to move us forward, economic education, and even in the land, because Joanne was trying to get the land over there. All the other stuff, the stuff that you told us, Dr. Anderson, that about 2012, that we was going to be a fourth-class citizen.
That's right. And we are. According to the 2015 census, we are classified now in Washington, D.C., and the Department of Commerce, which used to be one of my departments, they got us classified now as a permanent underclass, which means that we rank the lowest of anything in this country. And that means that nobody is focusing on carrying our water for us. And that's very, very unfortunate, because most of the black leadership in this country, and especially those blacks who have high visibility, and in common that we recognize them as being professional athletes and professional entertainers, they carry little water for black folk, and are especially scared to carry any water for black folk.
Mm-hmm.
They find right now that white folks demand that they carry their water instead of the water for their own people. And that's one of the major things that's tearing black folk up across this country.
Yeah.
We got to start doing some things that we've never done before. And one of the first things we got to do is disengage from our efforts to always romanticize the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was good at its time, and that was in the early 60s and late 50s. But now we're past that point. We have to de-emphasize romanticism and dealing with civil rights.
Well, you know, Dr. Anderson, Dr. King,
black folk anymore.
You know, Dr. King said,
Dorothy,
I'm here, and you got
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we'd be having feedback. What I was going to say was, Dr. King said it was time for us to move to the economic agenda before he was assassinated.
Well, that's right, and he was right, too. He was right,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have to do. We have to move into the one thing that which is a real problem in our country. Too many of our people don't understand the nature of the problem in the country. Joanne did. That's why Joanne and I stayed as close together as we could.
Mm-hmm.
I told her that the main thing that the civil rights movement should have focused on from the get-go, starting in the 50s, about 1956 or 57, should have been strictly on correcting what slavery and Jim Crow segregation with black codes did to black folk. You should have been spending all your time correcting that. But unfortunately, too many of our people, Dorothy, do not understand the difference between a cause and a symptom.
Repeat that for me.
We devote too much time focusing or misdirecting our time and attention on symptoms of our problems, not the causes of our problems. we spend all our time in social discussions about, well, we got to get, it's unemployment. Oh, well, it's because of poverty. Oh, it's there's not a father in the family. Or it's because of this or that. Those things are symptoms of our dilemma. Those are not the problems. Our problem is one thing now, and was the same thing way back when I was with governors and presidents, and I was the chairman. I told them, you got to focus on the real problem. The real problem is that no attention has been focused strictly and solely on correcting the maldistribution of resources in this country into the hands of the dominant white society with all of its privileges. That's our major problem, because slavery maldistributed almost 100% of all this country's wealth, resources, businesses, supplies, income, preferences, resources in terms of for special persons and individuals like going to college preferences, privileges, and all those other good things that all the other people get when they come into this country by just simply being an immigrant. All those things have been maldistributed into the white hands, and they go back now and using the first law passed in this country in 1890, which says that in this country, it is a white country, and as a white country, and immigrants, that those people who can pass for whites or act white or believe in whiteness, they get all the benefits. We get nothing because we don't understand the importance of understanding that those people being brought in this country now to dilute and further make us, lock us into a permanent underclass status. That's what's going on. We are being drowned in cities after cities and across America by immigrants pouring into this country and getting rights and privileges that black folk were never accorded. Mm-hmm. And that's what our major society is doing. They are gentrifying every area where black folk live and putting nothing into them, so nothing is changing for black folk. And contrary to the leadership we've had over the last 35 years, none of them have focused on redistributing the resources, the privileges, and the rights and the benefits into the hands of black folk. All those things now go to anything from traders to Afghanistaners to Hispanics, to anybody but black folk. Black folk are getting nothing, and we stand now to be wiped out and eliminated if we don't get back to the real point. Devote all of our time and energy on learning some basic principles that Joey and I used to discuss, that what needs to be done. One, we need to go back and rebuild black communities and where we can store our resources, our wealth, our power, our jobs, our culture, our history. Those things need to be stored in a black community where nobody can come in and change them. Two, we should learn how to support only those people who will support us and benefit us. If they don't support us as a black people and come up with bills and creative ways of redistributing some of these resources into black people's hands, we need to stop supporting them. Do not support anybody, any business, any political party that would not support you. Now, when Obama came through, Obama had a magnificent chance to do something for black folk. Well, he didn't do a darn thing.
He destroyed us.
And Joe and I talked about that. I said, Joe, do you realize that Obama did absolutely nothing for black folk? I said, I certainly do. And I said, we need to address this issue. So she gets Maxine Waters, and the two of them go to Obama and say, President Obama, what are you going to do for black folk? That's who put you in the office. That's who you swore on an oath that you would protect and take care of. What are you going to do for black folk? You have done anything yet? And you've been on, this is two sessions in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
You said, well, I can't do anything for black folk unless they make me. Now, isn't that a dirty shame? You know, he's telling about black folk got to make him focus on black folk. And because otherwise he hadn't got time to do it. And so he spent all his time and energy out there sending lawyers over to compete with me. I got a lawsuit now that goes back on the black Indians. And the lawsuits in the courts, in the central courts, in the Sixth Circuit courts, and the D.C., every level in D.C.'s court system, and ask him to support us to get some resources for black folk. American Indians, so-called Indians, for the five civilized tribes, they supported slavery as much as white folk did. Mm-hmm. And people don't know it. They swore an oath with the Southern Confederacy to make sure that they honored also the black flag system, which meant if you catch a black person wearing a uniform of the North, then he was to be killed instantly. Put no black in prisons. Make sure they died on the spot. And so consequently, the black folk saved this country by risking their lives and fighting with the North, even though something like 250,000 Southern whites, these guys you call private Proud Boys coming from the South that raised Cain on January 6th a few years ago, that they were the people that would not go to fight for the North. They always say, we saved black folk. They did not save black folk. Well, most of them would hire, pay people to go to the army for them, or they would take a black servant and send him into the army. When black folk had to replace approximately 250,000 whites who would not fight for the Civil War for the North.
Dr. Anderson.
And the only reason the North won the war was because black folk filled in. We had blacks who recently been freed, or was already free. They joined in and helped out.
Dr. Anderson.
And that's why we won the Civil War, was because black folk participated.
Right.
And stopped. And yes, so let me stop right there.
No, let me say, yes. Dr. Anderson, that and you talk about the Freedman Bill, and you talk about, I'm getting feedback again. You got a radio? No, I ain't got no radio on. He don't have no radio on. You have radio on, Dr. Anderson?
Say it again.
You don't have no radio on, do you?
You still getting feedback?
Do you have a radio on in your house?
Let me see.
No, we don't have a radio.
What with Joanne? What got the feedback, Joanne? It's only have when I'm talking, the feedback come on, and I have to be real quiet because it'll feedback as if it is when. But okay, let's try this. That's all right. We're going to be all right because I'm going to be as quiet as possible. We're going to get through this. Just leave it alone. I want to say something right now, and I'm going to be quiet. I just want to say this because when I'm quiet, it don't happen. It's just the feedback because I got to have you on because we did this tribute to Joanne. I know with the Freedman Bill, with Barack and all of them, when we went to Washington, Joanne and all of us went with you to try to get this bill, even down to when was Roland Burrs, who was the acting senator, and you talked to his chief of staff. All we needed was one line, and all them Negroes were scared. But we went to Washington with you, Joanne and I. That's what I'm saying. A lot of black leaders don't understand, and we stood with you to try to get this suit passed. I want folks to understand that leaders like Joanne, you know, who will stand for what's right for black folks, whether it's the land or whatever. But she did go and fight. We went and fought with you. The other thing, Dr. Anderson, was Joanne, she represented what leadership should be. I want you, as we talk about this and how she went and stood for black folks and things that you're working on, what is it that you said leadership? But if we got more black elected officials now than ever, why are we so messed up?
Well, for two reasons. First of all, I was telling you earlier about being in aviation and the Marine Corps. And as soon as I got in the Marine Corps and went to a few basic aviation schools, then they sent me straight to Korea and to Seoul, Korea. And then after that, they shipped me up north to across the 38th parallel into North Korea. And what I was major responsibility for my squadron was to watch Russians and Chinese and North Coreans coming down what we call the Yalu River, and bringing in more and more Chinese soldiers to fight against American soldiers, and so consequently, then we were trying to load up and stop some of that. But my thing, the first thing I learned in Korea, which is pertinent for understanding blacks in America, do you know that every morning, as all those Asians and North Koreans and Russians would come across the Yalu River, did you know that that time they would come up every morning routinely blowing horns, shooting rockets, bullets, anything, and on a megaphone screaming and yelling how they're going to kill all of us over there at that time, it wasn't necessarily me, but they were going to kill all the Americans there. And you could, and here's what they were doing. And they came over across the sea there and across the river and to go out and look inside to see if our soldiers are ready to repel them. And you look down in the damn ditches and behind the trees, behind the rocks. Guess what? Our blacks, I mean, not the black soldiers, but soldiers and American soldiers were hiding behind trees and rocks and in ditches, lying in the ditch on their own guns. And you would say to them, hold it. Why don't you all get up and shoot back? All these people coming across the river from North Korea and China and Russia coming here to kill you. Why don't you stand up and fight for yourselves and keep your own interests and keeping yourself alive? Why don't you fight back? And you know what they would say then, Rosie?
What?
Well, Dr. Addison, we don't want to do, some of us don't want to do that because we know that if we got out of this ditch and behind this rock and started shooting back, that would make the enemy mad. And they get angry with us.
Is that what the elected officials are doing now, these black elected officials?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. See, right now, most of them that are getting elected to office right now, they're not concerned about so much for their own people as they want to be able to get along with the other people. They want to get along with whites, with all these people that are passing for whites and under the label of being people of color. Racism is not based on people of color. It's based on two things, those who are classified as whites and those who are classified as black. That's all. That's what race is. Race, there is no, we don't know nobody's concerned about race based on religion or money or poverty. It's based on what it started back in 1488 with Pope Innocent in Italy, which says it's to be based on these things. It's based on being black and not people of color coming from India or from Hispanic places around the world. You're into a relationship. You must stand up for yourselves. You must have leaders that will stand up for you and articulate your interests. But instead, they support and carry water for everybody but black people. Most of the leaders across America will not stand up and talk about black folk. They won't even use the word black. They'd rather use the words, these ambiguous, broad terms that they've been using for the longest that whites like for them to use because that way they don't have to be very specific. They like to be called minorities, people of color, underprivileged, poor people, and Hispanics, and in any kind of a broad term that would allow them to be qualified to be equal to black. Nobody in this country should be equal to blacks. That's what the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment was about. And that's it was to say either blacks going to have rights and reverse the 1857 Dred Scott decision, which says black folk in the Supreme Court, they have no rights. No black person in America has any rights in 1857, said the Supreme Court. But now guess what?
What?
If the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment were not specifically for black folk, plus those other five or six laws that the Supreme Court denied so they were unconstitutional, then blacks are not citizens of the United States. They have no rights. But either you can't have it both ways. Either the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment was strictly and solely for black folk, as it was promised by the efforts of the radical Republicans in 1863 and 64 when they put those laws into effect, or that they are not applicable today, and blacks are no longer citizens. They're back to where they were into slavery with the Dred Scott decision, which means they have no rights. Black folk must stand up and start questioning the Constitution that allows the Supreme Court, which is the most racist organization in the country, and that's what Joanne and I used to talk about. It's the most racist organization in the country that have never, 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 ever voted for anything that's supposed to be a purposeful thing and benefiting black folk. And that's why the integration concept in 1954 went the wrong way. The issue should have been black folk weren't trying to get social integration.
Mm-mm.
They were trying to get their fair share of all the
resources. Desegregation. Desegregation is different from integration.
That's right. See, instead of desegregation, they stuck in integration.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something, Dr. Anderson. I want to. It's very important. Two things I want. Now, in Chicago, and then Joanne and I talked about it. I want you to listen to me real good. Representative, Watson and I would talk about. Like in Chicago, what if, and I got a call yesterday about from someone over at Taylor Park that told me they finna move all them black folks out of that park to put the immigrants. But anyway, they have put together, and I don't know who has stood up, and I want you to just, it's two things I'm going to talk about, because I'm Joanne and I will talk about this. They put, they're going to put together a new group, and them black elected officials and voted for it down there, the immigration and refugee rights, okay? They got that group, and they staffing it. But $103 million for them, $72.6 million for staffing, $1.6 million for housing. That's one thing. Now, the other thing is the Chinese taking our land, building their own school. They only go with blacks, and black folks are not saying nothing. Black kids are reading less than anybody in this city. But this whole immigration, and that's one thing. Write that thing down for me, Joanne. Dr. Anderson. So, and the other thing is this whole, Joanne worked a lot on reparation. But the reparation that we were working on, Dr. Anderson, you, Joanne, and all our, you, myself, Joanne, just a lot of folks that was working on that, Lerone Bennett and all, that's not what these clowns are doing. So can you address those few things right there real quick, and then we're going to go back to what you was talking about.
Well, okay, first of all, to bring in migrants over black folk is illegal and unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. That's what the 13th and 14th and 15th amendments to the Constitution was saying. You cannot put those people above black folk and take resources that should be dedicated to black people and still stay in power. You need to pull them out of office. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment was used strictly for black people. But what has happened, though, is Supreme Court then is the one that started narrowly defining what the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment was saying, and they kept redefining it until they refined it out of existence. So now anybody coming to America can get rights and privileges and benefits that black folk can't get. That's why the Asians right now, the Asians, for instance, are demanding more inclusion into universities. But again, those are the same people that would not come to America until after the Civil War was over. And when they did come in here, they were able to have the same privileges and rights that whites had. They got the same rights. Nobody shut out Asians when they came into America. They came in and got jobs with the railroads, and they got paid. They came into America, and they could go out and dig for gold in California, where black folk were forbidden to be searching for gold. The Asians got away with everything they want. They could have their own restaurants, the cleaners, and businesses where black folk could not. And so, consequently, they have no reason to be challenging blacks getting special preferential treatment. And more importantly, is that they went to the Supreme Court in the 1880s and sued the United States, saying that they do not, they are opposed to anything that would put mix Asians with black folk, that they do not want to be mixed with black folks. It's called a decision, which says that Asians do not have to go to school with black folk or live in the communities with black people.
Hold on. Hold it right there. Because in Chicago, in terms of these state reps and stuff, they voted to have, as of the 21st, they voted on July 9th, 21st, to make sure that we taught Asian American history and Chicago public schools, and these are the things they're going to write about the contribution of Asian American toward the advance in civil rights of the 19th century, the contribution made by individual Asian Americans in government, arts, humanities, and science, the contribution of Asian American communities to the economics, culture, social, and political development. And then we talked about it so much, and they still have not done us. They put us some BS history down there for us, but they tacked on all that sex stuff that got to do, how you teach kids about gender and stuff. They have demanded that in the Chicago public school system that they teach Asian history, how they develop America.
Well, see, and that's why black folk need to rise up and start challenging the United States Supreme Court and saying no.
Who's
going to
do that, Dr. Anderson? That's what I was talking about this morning. Before we had a group of blacks like all of us on the stuff moving and fighting, these people have done just what you said. They scared. And like these, the immigrants like Tina, all the organization they have put together, that we have, they got their lawyers, they got their all this stuff. They're fighting. So we our children are in trouble because our people are not fighting.
Well, see, and then what black folks need to do is start withdrawing, start building your own communities and your own people, and buy only from your own people. Right now, we are subsidizing all those immigrants that come into the country. Right now, black folk have maybe approximately $1.4 trillion passing through their hands annually. But guess what? They deliver 98 cents out of every dollar that they get every year. They deliver it right back into the hands of whites. They don't even put money in their own community by buying from their own people. And right now, Asians get about 1% of that that's left out of the 2% that's left for blacks that black folk keep in their own hands.
Now, that's in your Powernomic book. You know, you laid all that out in the Powernomic book. If people want to get that whole set that you have, Powernomic, with all that. Even that Black History book, you had a whole set. And I hope you can still have that special they can send for, because you laid all of this stuff you're talking about there in your books. And if they
every question that black folks should have about race relations are in those five books.
Mm-hmm.
First one's called Black Labor, White Wealth. It told you that you cannot get wealth without labor. Our people keep talking about, we'll create some jobs for black folks. Black folks don't need jobs, they need wealth. And wealth was their labor. When they came into this country, they had labor. They worked for whites and all these other groups and never got paid. That's what you want. They want to get paid for their labor. And we can easily tell you how much money you would be entitled to, somewhere around $23 trillion. Black folk need to start focusing on saying, either you pay us up or we will not participate in the half of the stuff that you're talking about. Alexander Hamilton, when he wrote the damn Constitution along with Thomas Jefferson and George Mason, he said at that point that you cannot, in fact, deal with black folk until you redistribute some of the wealth and resources back into their hands. And Alexander Hamilton says, in a society that classifies you as a minority or an excluded group, and they never take care of your interests, don't participate with them. Do not go along with their saying. That's where black folk go wrong.
Well, no, but the problem, Dr. Anderson, is that you had a group of folks that would do that. These folks do participate. They We put folks in place. Our black folks thought they're what you're saying is absolutely right.
Right. That's policy 5 in the letters from Alexander Hamilton, which says in a society that reduces you to the level of minority, and so that you can't win in politics, and then do nothing for you, then you don't have to do it. You do not have to respond to whatever they decide to do. They're on their own. They want to go declare a war on China, anybody else. You say, fine, y'all go to war and fight it out. Just don't bother me.
Well, you know, Kamala's coming here tomorrow. And I read her statement in the paper. I told the people about it earlier. And that's how I miss Joanne, because we would discuss this stuff if she was still. Kamala says she's coming to meet with the Latina community to discuss economics. She's talking social issues to black people. She didn't say nothing about economics. And then and within that whole same article, they tell me she's the first black Indian woman in government. Dr. Anderson, you hit it on the head of what's going on, because economics with them, social stuff with us, get rid of guns, violence, all that same old mess that they talk about. But economics with the Latino community, she's going to be meet with them about economics.
Well, Dorothy, you got to be very careful what you're saying.
No, I don't. I don't have to be careful.
Okay, let me tell
because
you.
Because how I feel about it's right. What's right, I was taught that if you're right, you stand. So I don't have to be careful. Let somebody else be careful.
Okay, then that's what I'm saying. Because in joining with them, because the third group that was most powerful as slave sellers and slave brokers and all that were the Hispanics. Hispanics were over black folk for over 100 and some years. They were the ones that were putting black folk into Latin America countries and to the United States and various places, and also in the Caribbean, those islands. It was Hispanics that were slaveholders in all those countries. Now you're going to say you're going to go join with the slave trader and want to get resources back. He's not. You tell the Hispanics No, before you can deal with us, you got to come to the table and pay some damn reparations for black folk fault. They fought you in the Philippines. They fought you in Puerto Rico. They fought you in Cuba. When you were a dominant population, they fought you in all these islands, because it was Hispanics that were bringing in blacks as slaves and taking their wealth from them. The Hispanics owe you. Why are you going to get hooked up with them and they haven't even paid you any reparations? You get them along with the whites. Every country, every religion on earth has enslaved black folk and misused and abused black folk. That's why I tell people that all the so-called civilized tribes signed with the South, fought with the South, and got paid $25 for bringing back every runaway slave back to the master. And if they couldn't bring him back alive, if they killed him, they bring back his scalp with his ears attached. That's where that scalping stuff started. They didn't start with whites against Indians. The scalping of people started with where whites were paying Indians to go out and bring back black folks' scalps with ears on them to get paid, and they got $20 for that bring back of the slave. And more importantly, they also got extra money when they tortured the black before they brought him back to the white master.
Hold for a moment, Dr. Anderson. Hold for a moment. Let me say to my audience, y'all keep calling, and please, I love y'all, but we're not taking calls this morning because we're giving this program to, we're dedicating it to Joanne Watson in Detroit, and we have Dr. Anderson, a rare moment on, so we're going to finish this, and next week I'll let y'all call, and next time I have Dr. Anderson on, but I'm purposely not taking calls this morning because I want to hear everything Dr. Anderson said. I'm not disrespecting y'all. I know y'all love Dr. Anderson, but if you really love him and you want to talk to him, get his books. His books is on sale. You still got that special on Dr. Anderson?
Yes, ma'am. You get all five of those books in order. And they tell you, and there's no way you can read those books and not understand racism. Right now.
Let me finish the books. So they get the books from Power. How do they get the books?
They can go to the website, the Powernomics website, and order them and have them within a day or two. Or they can get them from the local bookstores.
No, let them come straight from you. Go to Power Number 12 and order them, y'all. So all this stuff he's talking about, y'all can read. So when I do have him back, I'm going to have him back on sometime in August. You can talk to him. But right now, this program is dedicated to Joanne. And Joanne would love what we are talking about because she worked with Dr. Anderson on all of these things. We went to Washington with him. She was part of our reparation convention that we had with Dr. Anderson, Joanne, myself, Lerone Bennett, all of us, that we were working to really deal with repairing the damage for black people. And so I'm not disrespecting my audience. I love y'all, but I only have about three more minutes with Dr. Anderson, and I just wanted him to get through as we close it in, but I cannot. I have him back for y'all to talk. My phone was just boom, 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 Dr. Anderson. I just wanted to say that, but I also want to say if they really buy your books, read your books, because they can get more out of the books they hear you on this. Okay.
But right now, that's what Dee Sanders is trying to do. Dee Sanders down in Florida is running for the governor and stuff. Mm-hmm. He wants to try to remove everything I put in place for the 10
years. Oh, DeSantis, that man is something. He's something, Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson, I don't know if you've seen this article a few weeks ago. They take it down. They said they was naming the living president who was the descendants who came from slaves, who really they want to play reparations. So they named this all of them but one. So everybody thought it was Barack. But they said there was only one living president that had no association with slavery, and that was Trump. And everybody was shocked. They said Barack, Bush, all of them. So folks called my show, Barack had something to do with slavery? They really didn't understand. They were shocked, Dr. Anderson.
Right. And see, most of them right now don't even know what racism is.
Uh-huh.
Racism existed on the face of the earth until 1859. Racism meant that when slavery ended, that every white person was charged with trying to do this, to not let anything, any wealth and power, privileges move from white hands to black hands. That's racism. Any way you can impose it, then that's practicing racism. Black people cannot be racist. Racism is a power play where one group owns all the resources and got all the power and all the money, and then they abuse the ones who have nothing. Black folk have been abused now for 465 years.
By everybody.
You got to break that up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Anderson, I want you to. I got like 2 minutes with you, or maybe a minute. 2 minutes with you, and I want you to sum this all up and say how it was about working, because Joanne's children are listening, working with her, and how she exemplified what a black elected official should be about, and how she not only how she worked and what all she did, even how she, I know we was over there, we did a whole conference on reparation, but we also did a whole workshop over there on your black labor white wealth, and we had you to come. That's the first time I met Joanne, and we had you to come. So to kind of give me a minute of surmise on Joanne Watson, and in terms of how she moved that agenda as an exemplar of being what an elected official should be. Because, you know, I know, because I know how to say, they came after her just like they came after me. That's all I got to say. So can you kind of, in terms of, put that all in a nutshell, because we're going to have to go in a minute. We got 2 minutes, and know that her daughter and her family is listening. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you something. They're wasting their time trying to beat Dorothy Tillman down. No, Dorothy Tillman is strong enough to take on all of them and still beat them, and with one hand behind her back. Don't you worry about them taking you down. You are a very proud, intelligent, smart woman and very sensitive to the needs of black folk. Our needs in our country is not social acceptance. It is the fact that you got to have economic acceptance. You got to redistribute the resources. That if right now whites only control 98% of everything of value in America. It is impossible for black folk to continue to survive in this country, only 2%. And that's what black folk owned when slavery ended. Black folk in 1863 owned only 2% of all the wealth in this country and all the businesses and all the land. And they said, so what we need to be going after is go after land. We want to be just get exactly what white folks got in 1865.
Okay.
Every white
I want to hear you. I'm going to have you back. But I do, and I want them to get your book to know that stuff so we can really have a long discussion in August. Everybody should be about your book by August. What was the last few minutes you want to say about Joanne as a leader, strong leader, and to her family? Because you got like 30 seconds, a minute.
Right. Well, see, as far as our good friend Joanne, see, her spiritual dedication was a foundation for most of things she did in her life. Joanne was a good person, strong person, and at some point we must all leave our work here on earth. Joanne lived well, and she has made a graceful exit. I will miss my friend, my only friend, and I was her only friend. I love that woman. I love strong black women. That's why I picked one in every city that would stand up and say, I don't care how we
live. Shut up. I'm your only friend. I love you, Dr. Anderson. I'm going to have you back. My engineer telling me I got to go. I love you. I thank you so much. I want to tell folks to get Powernomics, and we did lose a good friend. I'm playing this song for her family and for you. Have you ever lost a friend? I love you. Thank you, Dr. Anderson. I'm going to have you back in August. Hopefully they have bought your books from Powernomics, and we can have a discussion. If they have not read your book, I'm not going to let them talk. Thank you, Dr. Anderson, so much. I love you. I'll call you when I get home.
Thank you, girl. Give me a call when you get a chance.
As soon as I get home. Okay. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Woo! Think I can play it all, most of it? Charles Bevel, James Bevel's baby brother. Woo! Have you ever lost a friend and can't have them back again? No, 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 never again, I tell you. Hey, Joanne and Robin. Joanne, I was so hurt my sister. Robin Brown family, my chief
this
of staff.
Is not a song of love.
Sing it, Charles. Nikki, I'll call you when I get home. We love your mama. Yeah.
Only when you see him gone.
That's why it's good to salute Reverend Jackson today while he's on this earth. Salute you, Reverend Jackson. Won't be there, but salute you from one of your teachers. Have you ever lost Lord. Think about my own immortality, y'all. All and when you're all alone. Hey, come on, child.
You'll understand the whole.
Woo! Oh, God.
This is not a song of love.
Come on, Charles Bevel. We're not going to go out with the other reparation. We'll just take this alone.
Rich or poor, right or wrong.
Yeah! Mm.
Someday
you're going to sing this song.
One day you will sing this song.
I tell you now, my sister Joanne, her hardest moment that black folks chose an Arab over her candidate, Brenda Young, who was running the tape, the congressional seat of Conyers, and black folks chose the Arab.